2 Timothy 2, verses 23 through 26. These are God's words. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The instructions in these four verses are especially for the minister of the gospel or the elder of the church, but they are useful for us. For instance, the Proverbs tell us not to answer a fool according to his folly, lest we become like him, but also to answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And so the question becomes, how do you recognize if you are letting the fool draw you down into his folly versus when you are helping someone who just doesn't understand, or using the truth to expose the folly in such a way as that the person has an opportunity to humble himself. And the Lord Jesus tells us not to cast pearls before swine, in the same context in which he is telling us that we should seek to help our brother. And so how do we know? Well, there's some help for that here. It says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. So there's a certain kind of person, or a person who has taken a certain kind of posture that is not inquisitive, but combative. Not someone who is having difficulty, they may say, I'm having a hard time. A lot of people say things that aren't the actual case about themselves. I have a hard time understanding how, blah, 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 is often the statement of someone who says, I am rejecting a particular truth, and I'm using this language to do it. There is a person who is not open. And we'll find out why they're not open in the subsequent verses. It is because what they need is repentance. They don't have merely a closed mind. They have a closed mind because they have a hard heart. They have a hard heart because they are in bondage to the devil. They are literally the captives of the devil. So it's important to recognize a certain type of arguing and just refuse it, reject it, avoid it. A slave of the Lord, it's doulos there in verse 24, slave must not quarrel. If you're in a situation with someone and the way they are reasoning, the only kind of response that is available at the time is quarreling. You just don't. The slave of the Lord must not quarrel. It is above his station to be quarrelsome. He's a slave. The master is the one who would do the quarreling. And if someone has a quarrel with the truth, they will have a quarrel with the Lord Jesus, and that's dreadful. But a quarrel with you is not the same thing. And it doesn't communicate to them the actual trouble that they are in by having a quarrel with Jesus. But it helps if we remember our station, that we are a slave of a master who has appointed to us our office, not for quarreling with his enemies, but for instructing and teaching those to whom he is giving new heart open mind, that they may be given repentance. To whom he is giving repentance, whom he is saving. And so this is the way for a minister of the gospel, that he is a slave on assignment from his master, and his master's current business is not the quarrel, but the recovery and the delivery of sinners, of enemies. When he's done doing that, his business will be the quarrel, and the quarrel will be very short and devastating to all who have not been redeemed. And there's an important analogy for you guys. For instance, when you do Matthew 18, you have a brother who's caught in a fault. The goal is the recovery of your brother. Doing Matthew 18 doesn't look like, ha-ha, I caught you in a fault. You're wrong, and if you don't yield to me now, I'm going to get other people, including mom and dad, to come gang up on you, and you are going to get your discipline. That's not Matthew 18 at all. Matthew 18 is finding a brother who has been caught in something. He's trapped. He's like, got clamps around part of his life, his heart, his tongue, whatever. And you want to recover him. And you're hoping God gives him a soft heart. And the way that you address him in the first place should have as its tone, as its manner, as its attitude, I'm hoping God gives you a soft heart. Not, I know you're a hard-hearted pagan and I'm showing you. Okay, so you can see the parallel between instruction from a brotherly standpoint to the instruction that's given for ministers here. So the slave of the Lord must not quarrel. The quarreling is above his station. But he should be gentle to all, able to teach, apt to teach, or qualified to teach even. He has been taken by the Lord as a slave in this particular assignment because the Lord intends to use him. Many schoolmasters, for instance, were slaves because of the level of their education, their ability in pedagogy. Pedagogy is the study of how to teach, how to train. And the minister should have skill in that. So there's gentleness, and there's skill, and there's patience. And all of this is exercised in humility, verse 25. That's proper to the station or the of a slave. The status of a slave, isn't it? Humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Doesn't have to come with force. His master has the force. His master has the power. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God, perhaps, will grant them repentance. And there's the first indicator of what they really need. They really need his conversion, don't they? Or in the case of someone who is just clinging to a false doctrine, even though they are an actual Christian. But this is an area in their life in which Satan has a foothold. As we'll see, quite literally, foothold in verse 26. And some people, they are stuck on an error so much that what they need most is not good reasoning. They need God to give them repentance in this area of their life. We all, in our Christian lives, have an ongoing need of repenting. What are we going to do tomorrow, Christian Pinky? Repent and believe the gospel. Or brain, Christian brain, whatever. The cartoon doesn't matter. What are we going to do today? Repent and believe the gospel. What are we going to do tomorrow? Repent and believe the gospel. What are we going to do next week? Repent and believe the gospel. And there are some people that they need to be granted repentance from a false doctrine that by which Satan has laid hold of them. And so since it is the teaching that we hope that God will use to grant repentance, we don't have to argue in a manner or with a force or with passion as if our manner or our force or our passion is going to convince. Even super excellent reasoning isn't going to convince. Why? Because there are errors that people get caught in that what they need is a work of God to grant a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of attitude on the order of conversion. The word for repentance is literally the word for change and the word for mind. And it means a complete reversal of attitude, posture, countenance, disposition towards the idea. So that's the first reason, is because of what they need. The second reason to be humble and gentle and patient with the right kind of person. Remember, this is not the combat person. The combative person, he already said at the beginning, just don't talk to them. But even the one you talk to, he's saying, have this gentleness, have this patience, have this humility with them. The first reason is because of what they need. The second reason is because of the trouble they're in. And that perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. So just to know the truth, they need repentance. And then verse 26, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Do you know what a snare is, Sophia? It's a kind of trap, sometimes with strings or ropes, and sometimes with metal claws or metal clasps or something like that. The idea was that when the person stepped in the trap would close around them or grab them. That's a snare. And the picture here is that the devil uses certain errors of theology to get a foothold, literally hold on to someone's foot, and they are caught. And usually these traps, the more you struggle, the tighter it gets and the more trapped you get. Which a lot of people's theological errors work that way. And so to help someone out of a trap, they need gentleness and patience and carefulness as you work the right way. Struggling, impatience, hastiness will just get them caught more. And they're in a very precarious situation, not just because of how their error works, that it is a trap, but the fruit of their error, that it might spread to others, it might lead to ungodly living. There are lots of things that might be this to do his will, talking about the devil. That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And so we should have pity on the person that we are talking to that just can't understand. And they can't understand because they have a hard heart. So what they need is repentance. And if they don't repent, they're just going to get themselves more and more caught and trapped and become more and more unintentionally serving the devil by their falsehood, by their theological error. And here we are, having been taken by God's mercy, not by anything from us, to be his slave, to do his work. And there's the picture of the one who knows he's a slave of God, on mission, gently, patiently instructing those whom the Lord may take to be his slaves too, and who don't even know that they are caught in a trap and that Satan has a foothold on them. And despite their awareness of it or not, they have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. And so there's great sympathy and gentleness and patience and skill here that is commanded of the minister of the gospel. And as we've already described, making reference to Matthew 18, and the same is true in other places as well. This is one of the reasons why you take the log out of your own eye, is so that you can gain humility and skill in your own personal log removal, so that when you come to help your brother with the speck, you can bring that humility and that skill to bear in that situation as well. Let us pray that the Lord would give us the attitude and the ability that we need for these things. Our Father in heaven, pray that you would help us to be grateful for when you release us from the snare of the devil, and that we would be thankful and that we would be humble, so that when you give us opportunities in our various calling, whether an elder or minister with a congregation, or a parent with a child, or a brother with a sibling, that we would bring the humility and skill that you have given us into the situation, and that you, Lord, would grant the repentance that is necessary for them to be able to know the truth, and that they might be delivered from the snare that they are caught in. Lord, wherever we are still caught in snares ourselves, have mercy on us, God. Give us the repentance to be able to know the truth. Get us out, that we might not unwittingly do the will of the devil in one situation or another. Grant these things, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.